And Jesus isn't afraid of our faults, neither should we. His light shows them up. Why? Because he's going to say, that's what I'm going to be working on, so we can cooperate. There's a synergy that takes place. And when you understand what I'm working on and cooperate with me and obey me, I can continue to heal and to grow and optimize your life and your marriage and your future. Because when you first come walking with me, there's a lot of fault lines, and I'll work with them one by one, and I'll let you know what it is so that we do it together.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message Pastor Wayne gave at Saddleback Church in Southern California, entitled, Having the Courage to Face Your Faults. Just like the fault lines that run through Southern Cal, Pastor Wayne will show us that you and I have fault lines in our lives. But if we have the courage to face them, God will convert our weaknesses into strength. Here now is Pastor Wayne.
It is so good to be here. My goodness. He read that just like I wrote it for him. You know, he's like one of the nicest white people I know. It just so... He called me just the other day and said, I'm in the hospital, can you go and preach? And so I said, man, I'm supposed to be in Hawaii preaching. So thank you for allowing us to simulcast this service to Hawaii. So I want you to say aloha to our people. Ready? Go.
Aloha.
That's gorgeous. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, they just said aloha back to you. Well, this is very different here. You know, the freeways here are different from Hawaii's. I got on the freeway to come here because I'm not used to these freeways. I get on the freeway here and I got off the freeway and they make you pay to get off the freeway. I'm not used to that. I stopped and they said $3. I said $3. I said, I thought you said freeway. It's not free. I said, how much is it to stay on the freeway? She said, that's free. So I backed up. I went back on the freeway. I kept driving. And so I was looking for this free exit. I found one. It's called Fast Track. I just went right to three times. I went right through that one. So it works really well. And then I was listening. I'm just getting over this fake freeway thing here, and because it's not free. And I was listening to Christian radio, and they said that there's Armageddon happening on 405. I thought that was going to happen in Israel. And I thought, gosh. And then they said, it's this weekend. I thought, whoa, I got really afraid. So I thought, no, that's theology's wrong. So I'm really glad to be in California because I need to straighten out a lot of stuff here in this state. Hey, I bring you greetings from a homeless church in Hawaii. We have 24 campuses in our city. It's a wonderful place, but we're homeless. I covet this kind of stuff, you know. In fact, don't send us money. Just send us land. Because we're trying to, there was a 1 4-acre piece we're looking at, and it was between $17 and $22 million, 4 acres. So it's about $5 million an acre. So don't send us money. Just send us land. Just put it on a barge. But We have a homeless church, but the cool thing is God is doing so many wonderful things over the last 17 years. 120,000 people have come to know Christ, and it's just people coming to know Christ everywhere. And the churches are doing well. We're just thrilled at all that God's doing. In fact, you know, we have so many new believers. Don't you love new believers? They're just like just thrilled, you know, just adrenaline coming out of every place, every pore of their body, because they love Jesus so much. There's this lady some time ago, brand new Christian. We were both in Rotary, and so I was speaking at this district Rotary convention, and she was sitting at this table by herself with this elderly Japanese man, and she's a brand new believer from our church. And so I was speaking at this convention, and she saw me. And she said, Pastor Wayne, come here. She said, and she looked at the Japanese man. She said, do you know? I forget his name. So we'll call him Mr. Miyagi. She said, do you know Mr. Miyagi? I said, no, I don't. I said, hi, Mr. Miyagi. He said, haro grasshopper. And I sat down, and she turned to Mr. Miyagi, and this is no exaggeration. She says, do you go to church anywhere? He said, no, I'm Buddhist. She said, that's all right. You got to come to New Hope. It will change your life, change mine. He said, no, I golf every Sunday morning. She said, that's all right. You got to come to our church. It'll change your life. He said, no, I have my own religion. She said, what's that? He said, I give money to Boy Scout and the Cancer Society. She said, that's all right. You just got to come to our church. It'll change your life. And for the next 20 minutes, whatever excuse he gave, her answer was the same. He could have said, no, I'm Martian from Mars. That's all right. You just come to this church. It'll change your life. And I leaned back and I thought, you can't even teach this kind of evangelism, even in Bible college. The people that are so excited about the gospel, and that's what I want us to be too. So today we want to talk about, as we continue in the series, an uncommon courage, the courage to face your own faults. So if you take out your notes, and you'll see them here, would you take them out and we'll write together and we'll also share together. The courage to face your faults. Now, your faults aren't necessarily sins. Now, they could be. But it could be a character weakness or a bad habit or a personality virus that you have or something you've picked up along the way. But even though it's not necessarily sin, it could end up in sin because it's like a fracture, a fault line in your life. And someone said that life is like a tube of toothpaste. You don't know what's in it until you squeeze it. And your life, your marriage, your future, your finances will get squeezed. And when it does, what's inside is going to come out. And if there's pressure on it, wherever that fault line is, it'll crack along that fault line. So is that fault line sin? Not necessarily, but that's what the devil's going to attack because that can alter your marriage. It can destroy a relationship. In fact, did you know that even though we're talking about fault, not necessarily devastating sin, but it's like pre-sin, you know, it's the stuff the devil looks at. Because if you're a Christian, he knows that the way to get you to fall is not to get you to sin, it's to get you to ignore or deny your faults. And it will cause a devastating effect just the same. In fact, it's so important that in the Leviticus chapter 4, we find that there is actually a sacrifice for unintentional sin. Do you know that? Like, I didn't know. Yeah, but you still have to do a sacrifice for it. In fact, it says this. When anyone sins unintentionally, I don't know, when he is made aware of it, he is to bring and offer a goat. You think, what? Yep. You know what God is saying to us in the New Testament? From Leviticus 4, here's what he's saying. God expects us to deal with our faults. Maybe we get a little upset or we just kind of punish one another by just kind of going blank. We just punish one another with our silence or we have a bad attitude and we just sort of get sour around the edge. It's not necessarily sin. And will it keep me out of heaven? No, but it probably keep other people out of heaven. You know, you've been around neurotic Christians. You know, they're saved. They love Jesus, but I don't want to be around them. They say there's some Christians that, you know, light up the room when they enter it, and there's others that light up the room when they leave it. Yeah. Faults. And the Bible is saying that God expects us to deal with our faults responsibly. Faults. In fact, you bring a goat and you offer it. Let me ask you, how many of you would say, I've got some faults I could deal with? Be honest. Raise your hand. Yeah, see, that's a run on goats right there. Yeah, goats just from this church and New Hope, just two churches, we'd have, you know, it'd be on the endangered species list already. No goats left. Because all of us have faults that we need to deal with. Now, it doesn't matter if you say it's unintentional. You know, tennis. When you're playing tennis, someone knocks the ball in the middle of the game and it goes outside of the line. What does the referee say? Fault. Now, what if the player goes, fault? I didn't mean it. It was unintentional. I intended it to go on the inside. What does the referee say? Oh, you didn't mean it? Okay, point. No, it's still a what? Fault. And the courage to face your faults will be incredibly important. Because I look around here, and you know, probably most of us are not involved in deep sin. You know, you're not like on drugs right now or stoned or anything, as far as I can see. And so pretty good. But I tell you, I bet we're laden with faults, and that's what the devil's going to go after, because that will mess up our marriage. Irreconcilable differences. Wow. Is that sin? Well, I don't know. You know, I've probably counseled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of marriages, but in my lifetime, I have not found one problem marriage. I have found thousands of problem people that get married and don't want to deal with their faults. You understand? Because when pressure happens, you'll crack along the fault line. And so the Lord is saying, I expect you to deal with your faults. Ah, that's exactly why we find at the top of our notes, would you read this together with me in your most profound thespian voice? Let's read it out loud. Go. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine. God wants us to be genuine people. And just like a master jeweler that when he wants to show you a beautiful diamond, he puts out a beautiful black velvet piece of cloth and he puts that diamond on it and he shines this halogen light, this bright halogen light on it. So you can see the resplendence of all of its facets. But if there's something wrong with the diamond, not only is the beauty revealed, also, if there's something wrong, you will also see its flaws. And in the presence of the light of Christ, he will give us his beauty. There will be a resplendence, but there will also be fracture lines that will show up. And what the Bible is saying here is, hey, listen, check and see. Be like David to say, search me, O God, and know my heart and see if there's any flaws in me. And if there be, help me. To what? Here's the courage to face your faults. Number one, would you write down in there? The first step is recognize your faults. Recognize your faults. Look at that top again, that first scripture. The first two words, what does it say in the top? Say that again. Examine whom? Yeah. Would you circle those words or underline them? There's three do-it-yourself commands in the New Testament. The first is in Peter. It says, humble yourself. These are three things you have to do for yourself. As maturing Christians, they're not going to be done by others. You got to do them yourself. The first is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. No one's going to do it for you. You've got to learn to do it yourself. The second, in Timothy 4:7, it says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And then we find the third here, it's examine yourself. Examine yourself. These are things we need to do for ourselves. You see, it's easy to find faults in other people, isn't it? I mean, I can see them right now. But to see them in yourself, I tell you, that's fabulous if you can do that, to examine yourself. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. If you can begin to see them in yourself, see, seeing them in others, easy. But a lot of times it starts with us. As was a story of a man went to the doctor and he said, doctor, my wife never answers me. I think she's got this major fault in her life. She just ignores me. The doctor said, really? Could it be her hearing? He said, I never thought of that. Could be. He said, why don't you check and see if it's her hearing? So he said, how do I do that? He said, well, you just go into the kitchen, ask her a question, a normal tone of voice, and if she doesn't answer, take two steps forward and ask her the same question in a normal tone of voice. And then if she doesn't answer, take two more steps closer and repeat that again and find out how close you need to get before she answers so that I can determine the severity of her hearing loss. He said, oh, that is so good. I'm going to do that. So he went home that night and she was cooking something in the kitchen. And he said, Mary, what's for dinner? And she just kept cutting carrots. Mary, what's for dinner? She just keeps cutting carrots. Oh, he goes a little closer. Mary, what's for dinner? And still nothing. He gets right up to her ear. Mary, what's for dinner? She looks up and she says, for the fourth time, beef stew. For the fourth time, it's beef stew. Sometimes we think of others, but it's really, we've got to start by recognizing our own faults. In the American Journal of Medicine, it had a great quote. You know what it said? It said this: the health of the 21st century American will no longer be determined by what the people can get the doctors to do for them. The health of the 21st century American will now be determined by what the doctors can get the people to do for themselves. And the same is true in our faith. So God is saying, recognize your faults, and you got to examine yourself. Because you got to think about it this way. You know, how are you going to heal without first diagnosing? Because recognizing precedes healing. If you don't know what's wrong, how's God going to work with you on it? Now, this is going to be very important, so you're going to have to catch this. There's a reason why God is going to locate certain faults in you so that you can work on them. Because how can you improve without acknowledging? How can you fix something without first examining it? How are you going to grow without first seeing what needs to be dealt with? How are you going to repair something without identifying it? A lot of people don't want to recognize their faults. It's sort of like a mechanic. You take your car in, you know, and I say to the mechanic, something's going wrong in my car. It's making these noises. And so I sit and wait in the waiting room, and an hour and a half later, he says, sir, I found the problem. You did? Yes, I want to show it to you. You want to show me my problem? Yes, I found it. I'd rather you not show it to me. Well, why? I found the problem. You know, it kind of makes me look bad if you show me the problem that I have. No, I've got the problem. What will people think if there's a problem in my car? What are you talking about? No, don't tell me. It's not true. No, I found the problem. Not my fault. It's not my fault. My wife drove it last. The mechanic will go, are you weird? We would never do that with our car, but we do that with life. Hey, there's something I need to talk to you about. Don't go there. Don't go there. Well, there's a problem. There's a fault. Oh, whoa, it might make me look bad. You know, not my fault. No, we've got to recognize our problems. If not, we'll be blind to what God wants to work on this season in your life. Because there is a very important reason I'm about to tell you. Let's read what he says to the Pharisees. Would you read out of John 9? Go. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what are we blind to? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. Here it is. But now that you claim that you see, your guilt remains. See, everything's cool. I can't heal you then. Because you see, it's not sin that destroys God's people. It's unresolved sin that does. Did you get that? It's not sin necessarily. There's a sacrifice for that. But there's no sacrifice for unresolved sin. Leave it. So the first thing is we've got to recognize that. And you say, but it's not always fun. No, it isn't. But that's okay. You've got to be able to recognize it. And Jesus isn't afraid of our faults, neither should we. His light shows them up. Why? Because he's going to say, that's what I'm going to be working on, so we can cooperate. There's a synergy that takes place. And when you understand what I'm working on and cooperate with me and obey me, I can continue to heal and to grow and optimize your life and your marriage and your future. Because when you first come walking with me, there's a lot of fault lines, and I'll work with them one by one, and I'll let you know what it is so that we do it together. Otherwise, we can't do anything. Paul the Apostle says something really interesting. This is out of Titus. You got to see this. This is hilarious. Let's read this next one. Go. One of their own prophets have said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes. They're lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply so that they will be, yeah, what's their goal? To be what? Sound in faith. That's the goal. Not to vilify, not to condescend, but that they be what? Very important, very important. And this is really, it's like, you know, someone comes and says, you know, people in New Hope, they're evil gluttons. You know, I mean, they eat their food, they gobble it down, and they're lazy. You know, I would defend them. What? And they said that to Paul. You know, some said the Cretans are lazy and they're gluttons. And Paul says, you know, it's true. It's true. Therefore, deal with them. And I thought, you know, there's going to be times that there's going to be some of our faults that will show up, and we've got to just say, ouch, it's true. What can I do? Well, let me now work with you so that you be sound in faith. So when the Lord then shows it up, it's for a reason. When I was a young pastor a couple years ago, I began in a place called Hilo, and we were having this picnic, and there was about 30 of us, and they're just wonderful people. And a guy saddled up next to me, and he said, do you know who's in this church that you're pastoring? I said, oh, I just started. There's 30-some people. He said, you see that lady over there? I said, uh-huh. She was raised by her retarded grandmother. I said, oh, I didn't know that. You see that couple there? Uh-huh. They're not even married. They're living together. I said, how do you know this? He said, I know more stuff, too. See that guy there? I said, yeah. See that black ankle bracelet he has? Uh-huh. He's on house arrest. I said, oh, yeah, there is that thing there. Yeah, I see that guy there with the Rastafarian hair? Uh-huh. Yeah, he is just out of jail for growing dope. I thought, what? Are you kidding? He said, your congregation is sick. Sick. They're a bunch of sickies. And he walked off, and I said, no, they're not. I thought, well, wait a minute. God, who is that guy? And I looked at that girl, and I thought, she does act a little weird. Yeah. Those two guys, those people are living together? And that guy does have an ankle bracelet. And that girl does look a little weird. She's got a piglet ring in her nose, they're weird. And I remembered looking up to heaven saying, God, you gave me a bunch of sickies. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, that's why I had you pastor them, because you're the chiefest of sickies. But I show these things up. Listen, I'll show these things up for you, not for you to condescend or vilify or get discouraged, but that you would shepherd them to healing, that you will understand them and love them as I would love them, that you together will understand my grace. Together you'll understand my repair. Together you'll understand my healing. Do you understand? Because I didn't come to call the healthy. I came to call sickies. But if you don't recognize it, how can I help you? And then I began to understand that God's not afraid of faults, neither should we. Only if we, would you write down number two, make sure that when he touches on one of them, not only do we recognize it, but we have the courage to, would you write this down, to emphasize his lead. Emphasize. In other words, prioritize what he's touching. Because you remember out of Mark chapter 7, it says that it's in the heart of man, and out of the heart of man come adulteries and evil thoughts and enmities, malice, deceit, envy. Out of the what? Out of the heart of man. Well, wait a minute. He's the one that made me envious. He's the one that made me angry. No. It's already lodged within your heart, Wayne. What are you talking? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. You mean it's in my heart? Uh-huh. In latent form, there's a tendency to anger, a tendency to lust, a tendency to pornography, a tendency to selfishness, a tendency to greed. It's all in our heart, the Bible says, out of the heart of man. And it's easy to blame somebody and say, well, they brought the worst out of me. No. It was already in you, Wayne, as a fault line. And here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is going to point out what he's going to be working on.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, Having the Courage to Face Your Faults, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.